Save WICC 600 in your preset, and you'll never miss anything Lisa has to say. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
Well, that was really fun. What are some of your thriller authors that are some of your favorites? David Baldacci is one of the best. If you don't know his books, you'll open them up and you'll just keep going. I think I have to say that, and maybe this is my own legal background pulling me towards this, but I think John Grisham is still my number one fave. Whenever I open one of his books, you know, even the ones that I know he's sort of slept through are still page turners. You still want to get to the end. So, and I love, you know, I began with The Firm. I thought that was his best, actually. That was the one that was his breakout. A Time to Kill was his first book, John Grisham. But when he wrote The Firm, it just was one of these books that was passed around and passed around and passed around before the age of Kindle. 203-333-9422. And for what it's worth, I still don't read anything online that I read for pleasure. I cannot read a book sitting up or laying down in bed with a screen. I do enough with screens all day long. Anyway, if I'm reading, and I think it's very good for my eyes, by the way, because the glare with the screen is not so great for us long term. If I'm reading, I like to curl up literally with a book in bed, literally curl up with a book in fetal position and read. I turn around side to side. I read the pages. I dog ear the page when I'm done and I want to take a break and go back. It's got to be a page for me. It's got to be a page. 203-333-9422. And speaking of that, there's a story I really wanted to bring to your attention that has me absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And it's a story of censorship. And it's a story about the police officer who has published a book. Well, let's put it this way. Has written a book about the Breonna Taylor case from his point of view as the police officer who was involved in the raid, who was one of the people who shot Breonna Taylor. His shot didn't kill her. And his name is Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly. He himself was not charged over his involvement in the horrible botched narcotics raid that led to this poor woman's death, 26-year-old black woman last March, Breonna Taylor. And a lot of what happened to her has focused the conversation on no-knock warrants and all kinds of things. And it's in the groundswell of the larger national conversation about police reform and accountability. But nonetheless, this person wrote a book. And this person's book was seen fit to be published by a publishing house called Post Hill Press, a Tennessee-based company that focuses on pop culture, business, self-help, health, current events, Christian and conservative political books. Some of its high-profile clients include conservative commentator Dan Mangino, far-right activist Laura Loomer, and embattled Congressman Matt Gaetz. Okay, it's a publishing house. You may not have to agree with anything it has to say. You don't have to buy the book. Since when don't we have a First Amendment? Listen to this. Post Hill Press decided that it wanted to publish this book. And it went to Simon & Schuster. Not as a publishing house, but as a distributing house, because Simon & Schuster has a network of distributing tentacles that will reach into all stores everywhere. They made a deal. Well, here's what happened. The people who work for Simon & Schuster got outraged. They don't want to have any hand in publishing this book. They don't want to have any hand in distributing this book. They don't want the lily white perfectness of Simon & Schuster that they work for to be even touched by the taint of this police officer who was involved in the Breonna Taylor raid. So what did they do? 200 of them, what did they do? They exerted enough pressure on Simon & Schuster that it pulled distribution of the book, which effectively means, you know, in this world, that it's going to be much harder to get the book. But it's a very big conversation to me because the left in this country, and it is coming from the left, so it must be said as such, they don't really have a clue about free speech. It's only the speech that they agree with that's entitled to be free. Anything else has to be squashed and quashed and censored. And I am absolutely dumbfounded that Simon & Schuster, which after all is a United States of America publisher, would give in to these demands and not distribute a book whose contents they don't agree with? Since when do you have to agree with the contents of a book to have it be published in a free society under the First Amendment? You don't like the book? You don't buy the book. You don't buy the book. By the way, for Simon & Schuster, according to what I'm reading about the distribution business, they win or lose no matter what. If the books get returned, they make money. If the books get sold, they make money. They didn't decide to publish the book. It's the publisher who ultimately either gets a profit or loss on a decision to publish a book. That's Post Hill Press. They wanted to publish a book. Simon & Schuster was merely distributing the book. I am so outraged about this, that people really think it's okay in a free society, working for a publisher no less, to implore and succeed in having something not distributed, not spread, because they don't agree with the contents. You know, right now, Facebook, this is a very big story. Facebook has its so-called independent review board, and they are deciding as we speak whether or not to reinstate former President Donald Trump to allow him to have a Facebook and Instagram account and WhatsApp, because they control all of it. But this specifically is focused on Facebook, because that's where a lot of President Trump's fans and voters were and shared his thoughts about things. And one has to admit that the national dialogue has dialed down quite a bit ever since President Trump has not been allowed to be on Twitter or Facebook. No question about it. There's been a lot less sort of consternation and angst in the world of public dialogue. But the reality is that if we say that we're a democracy and we live in a country where we value the First Amendment, it should not be Facebook and its independent board of advisors deciding what speech people get to see. Facebook also this week, I told you, shut down the New York Post's article, which reported something newsworthy about a chapter of the New York Black Lives Matter chapter investigating one of the national organizers of Black Lives Matter on the ground that they wanted to know where she was spending, how she had gotten millions of dollars to spend on houses. And by the way, she had a book deal that paid her a lot of money, and maybe that's where she got the money. But nonetheless, that's my speculation, and the speculation among Black Lives Matter people in various chapters around the country is that Black Lives Matter as a movement isn't nearly transparent enough about the money they've been taking in, the tens of millions since the death of George Floyd, and what they've done with it and where it's gone. Perfectly, perfectly appropriate newsworthy story published in the New York Post, and Facebook decided that if you wanted to share that story, you weren't allowed to on Facebook. So we have a control now of speech coming from Simon & Schuster, coming from Facebook, and with an agenda. It has to be said, an agenda, that anything that goes contrary to the narrative with respect to Breonna Taylor or Black Lives Matter is not fit to be seen by people. Now, either we live in a free country or we don't. Either we live with adherence to the First Amendment, or we're China. We're communist China. Let's not pretend to be anything otherwise. We have to have respect for the fact that people should be entitled to air their points of view, even if you don't agree with them. That's what the First Amendment is. It is hoped by many who love the First Amendment that this Facebook group will reinstate Donald Trump, not because they agree with what Donald Trump says at all. In fact, I would venture to say that many people don't agree with what Donald Trump says and his distortion of the truth and his insistent, in some cases, perversion of facts and his incendiary and provocative comments altogether. Many people don't agree with it. But that's not the point, is it? Are we so devoid of free will that we can no longer turn off or not buy commentary and speech that we don't want to see? Are we that manipulative? Are we that easily manipulated? Malleable is the big word for that. You know, what this is about is an attitude coming from the left that people are too stupid. That people are too stupid. That if stuff is put in front of them, if there's an account by this Sergeant Mattingly, that too many people will believe it. Oh, horrors. Too many people will agree with him. Oh, horrors. Too many people will know about what may be the terrible manipulation of money in the Black Lives Matter movement as a chapter. Oh, horrors. Too many people might vote for Donald Trump. Oh, my God. In the end, there's a paternalistic and very condescending attitude towards human beings that has always been there, that is at the root of censorship. The root of censorship is people are too stupid to know. We have to keep people from this information because we can't trust that people will be able to evaluate the information on its merits and make a decision about whether it's true or not, about whether they want to follow somebody or not. So we have to do it for that. Like communist Russia, like communist China. And that is not America. And I am incensed about this. When I saw that Simon & Schuster pulled distribution of this book, you don't have to read the book. You don't have to buy the book. Doesn't matter. It's wrong. It's un-American. We have to speak out. And it doesn't matter what side of the spectrum you're on. It doesn't matter who you vote for. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican or unaffiliated. These values transcend political affiliation. Either you're for free speech or you're not. I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be back with the next hour of the Lisa Wexler Show. We're going to talk with Martha Zoller. We're going to talk with the chairwoman of PURA. That's a very important conversation about Eversource and UI and how our public utilities are run here in Connecticut. So stay tuned for more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.